Sowate discipuli and sowate omnes. Welcome again to another episode of Latin in Layman's, where I'm going to be doing a myth here of Echo and Narcissus. Echo, the nymph, Narcissus, where we get the term narcissist from. I kind of felt like doing this, especially because as of recent, there's been a bunch of hoopla after an article was released from New York Times kind of exposing somebody named Andrew Huberman, whom I've followed for a long time because I really enjoy his content. I feel like he's taught me a lot, and he always has conveyed it in such a humble and human way. And after reading the articles, there were more than one that I read, and then also kind of deliberating on him in general, it's really clear that, you know, he thinks very, very highly of himself. And this guy is definitely this covert narcissist in a way, now that I think about it, because he makes himself so humble and conveying himself with such humility, but behind that is actually this kind of narcissistic, thinking very highly of himself type of mentality. I mean, I kind of had a weird vibe when he was very much adamant about talking about fertility, men's fertility, and the fact that the dude has had his sperm frozen. It's like, you know, it's like eugenics. It's like, come on, man, like, stop holding on to your youth. If you really want to have a kid, make it happen. If you don't freeze. You're weird, man. That's weird. I like for you to inseminate someone later on when you're older and then you want to still like carry on your bloodline or whatever. That's narcissistic, in my opinion. And I think that most people would probably and or tend to agree with that. I'm not going to get into it fully, but it really goes to show that he has a good understanding of the human psyche. He's gone through therapy. He understands trauma. He understands addiction very well. He really does know how to play on the minds of other people. And I think that he's really good at manipulating people as well, because he has been able to manipulate his own way and conveyance of himself to the masses. I don't know. I got this vibe from him, though, after, you know, he started playing off of like him being like this hot neuroscientist ophthalmologist from Stanford School of Medicine. You know, I am Andrew Huberman. And not gonna lie, man, I've never really watched his videos, his actual podcasts on YouTube, but I saw one. I think it's really weird how he doesn't blink ever. This guy could be an alien. He's a lizard people. I'm sorry, I'm just kidding. But it really goes to show, because in this article, I'll go into it just a little bit, but how he really, sorry, I hope that the work outside my apartment here isn't loud and drowning me out, but he was able to have multiple affairs with women all at the same time while also gaslighting them and making them not realize, but also being very covert and manipulative. And you know what? We need to take down all the liars in this world, all right, you guys? You know what? Let's take down the liars, the politicians in my administration. Take down Andrew Huberman. Take down the liars, man. We need more truth in this world. Good God. People with more integrity coming from integritas. God, right? What is character? Well, character comes from the Greek charakter, and charakter referred to destiny, who you were. What's your character? Who are you molded by? What are you molded by? What do you value? Your character. Clearly, Huberman values himself a little too much, kind of not like Narcissus that we're going to see here. And like I said to my administration in my prior episode, you reap what you sow. And what comes around goes around. So you ask for it, buddy. That being said, I do this on Spotify. Go hit me up. Give me a rating if you haven't already. I would love you. And if you haven't done it on Apple Podcasts, do it. It's a bit more of a process. You have to go to Apple Podcasts. You go to the Latin and Layman's. You scroll all the way down to where the stars and ratings are. You can leave some starage. And you can also leave a blurb that I would love to shout you out. I can't do that on Spotify because it doesn't allow you to actually write something out. But I would really like to plug you. I really, 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 really would like to plug you guys because I really appreciate any support that you can give me. If you can give me a tip on my Ko-Fi, if you've ever considered my Patreon, now that I'm unemployed, I can focus on my Patreon, and what I can actually leave is more of like a, you know, a part of that Patreon paid wall. I was thinking about providing a lot of more of my recitations of my poetry, my personal writings. I'm a big old writer. I love writing. I love writing about love. I love writing about experiences. We can dive into my journals, especially my really in-depth journals when I've bike-packed and or backpacked and or traveled through Europe, or when I did my solo trip via bike in Ireland. I want to entertain those things, and I think that there's going to be a good way in which I can create that kind of paywall on Patreon. So if you guys want to learn about the whole quote-unquote Liam lore that everybody's talked about on hashtag TikTok, whatever, then would love to have you support me. That being said, I won't belabor the point. Let's get into this myth. Let's talk about it. Its etiological implications, moral implications. Why do we have these myths? What are these stories really conveying to us from way back when to now? They're not just stories. They are stories, but we can glean more information from these stories because these were to sift through the human condition. People wanted to understand more so about who we are in general. That's why we write so much about love. That's why we write so much about these things. That's why poetry, why songs are made about love, is because nobody understands love. And yet the only way we can actually try to understand it a little bit more is by making that metaphysical thought into a physical entity, aka either writings, songs, verbal, into the ethers. I will leave it there. With that being said, consider all those ways in which you can support me, and let's get on into it. Once upon a time, a long, long time ago, way off in a faraway land, in a time long past, when the world was young and the stars whispered secrets to the earth, there lived a nymph named Echo. Her voice was as sweet as the melody of a lark, her laughter like the bubbling of a mountain stream. Yet Echo was cursed by a silent fate, for she could only repeat the words of others. Echo dwelled in the verdant depths of the forest, where the trees whispered ancient tales and the flowers danced in the gentle breeze. But despite the beauty that surrounded her, Echo felt a loneliness deep within her heart. She longed for someone to hear her true voice, to understand the song that lay hidden within her soul. And finally came a day, a fateful day, if you will. As Echo wandered through the woods, she chanced upon a youth of breathtaking beauty. His name was Narcissus, and he was the very embodiment of perfection. His golden locks cascaded like sunlight upon his shoulders. His eyes sparkled like stars reflected in a tranquil pool. Enraptured by Narcissus's beauty, Echo followed him with silent footsteps, her heart fluttering like a bird in flight. Yet, try as she may, she could not bring herself to speak to him, for fear that he would reject her as others had done before. Narcissus, unaware of Echo's presence, wandered deeper into the forest until he came upon a clear spring. Entranced by his own reflection, he gazed into the water, marveling at the beauty that stared back at him. Surely, he thought, there is no one more beautiful than I. Echo, hidden among the trees, watched as Narcissus became lost in his own image, oblivious to the world around him. She longed to call out to him, to tell him of the love that blossomed within her heart. But her voice fell silent. It failed her once more. As days turned into weeks, and weeks turned into months, Echo remained ever near Narcissus, her love unspoken yet unwavering. But Narcissus's obsession with his own reflection grew stronger with each passing day until he could think of nothing else but himself. In his obsession, Narcissus wasted away by the side of the spring, consumed by a love that could never be returned. And as he lay upon the ground, his life slipping away like sand through an hourglass, Echo wept silent tears for the love that had been lost. From that day forth, Echo's voice could be heard no more, save for the faint whispers that lingered among the trees and the spring where Narcissus had met his end. Became known as the Narcissus flower, a symbol of beauty and vanity intertwined. The tale of Echo and Narcissus serves as kind of this cautionary tale to remind us of the dangers of vanity and self-absorption. And we see how Narcissus's inability to see beyond his own reflection led to his demise. He got entranced so much by his own image that he could not see anything but that. While Echo's unrequited love brought her nothing but sorrow, to just be echoed into the ethers. But amidst the tragedy lies a deeper truth, that true beauty lies not in outward appearance, but in the depths of the soul. For it is love, not vanity, that sustains us through the trials of life, echoing through the ages like a timeless melody. And with that being said, tempus est discedere.